O'Reilly, good stick. Nyquist, a second chance at a clear. He goes for the empty net and nails it. Gus Nyquist makes it 5-3 Preds. An empty netter with 1:49 to go.
The Predators take their second game on the road trip. Preds take down the Vegas Golden Knights 5-3. Ryan O'Reilly will join us here in just a few minutes, so we will get his perspective, how the team responded after the canceled U2 trip. Was that the kick in the butt that they needed? Kind of the vibe in the locker room right now. So we will chat with Ryan O'Reilly here in just a couple of minutes. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Willie Donick joins us from, I can't keep track of where you are these days, Willie. Where are you today?
L.A. Live.
L.A.
Right next to Crypto.com Arena. Yep. We arrived last night. So from Sin City to L.A. So
you see LeBron?
Along.
You see LeBron?
I haven't yet, but I haven't left the hotel yet. I'm sure LeBron and I will cross paths here in the next couple of days. You never know.
Yeah. Well, if you see him, just tell him DJ said hello, all right?
Okay. Yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah, he knows who my son is. Yeah.
Well, the Predators last week had two lackluster performances, embarrassing performances, one performance that really made you kind of question everything after losing to the Dallas Stars 9-2. We learned per Elliot Friedman that Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz canceled the early trip to Vegas. They were going to see you two in the Sphere, and they said, nope. If you aren't giving us your best, you don't get to go see you two. And it looked like at least in the first two games of this road trip, Saturday in St. Louis, last night in Vegas, it was the kick in the butt that they needed. You had great goaltending from Kevin Lankinen last night, and you finally got that depth in secondary scoring, that it was the young guys, that it wasn't, decent bit of the season we've been talking about, getting scoring from Gus Nyquist and Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg, yes, that's great, but where are the young guys? Where's the production from some of these young guys that are the future of the core of this team? We saw that last night.
Man, I tell you what, Willie, and I brought up Tommy Nowak's name yesterday, and boy, oh boy, is he on a heater, man. He is playing outstanding the last five or six games. He has, four goals in six games, somewhere around there. So he's really playing at a level that they're going to need him to play moving forward. If this team is going to continue to make that push for the final wild card spot. But, not only him, Cody Glass, Evangelista, guys like that, that are, picking up their weight. And as long as those guys, and it's not going to be like this every night, but as long as you get some type of contribution from these guys, I think that's a good thing for the Predators.
Yeah, if you think about last year, after they made the moves at the deadline that they did, and traded the veteran players, it was really those three were as instrumental as anybody, Evangelista, Novak, and Glass. And if you look at their seasons individually, they've had some ups and downs. Novak and Evangelista, I would say, have been flashy. They've had big moments, but they haven't had that full groove that I think you're looking for. And we know Cody Glass's story as well, too. Two different injuries early in the season. And then really, I would say, a loss of confidence, a long stretch where he was being scratched regularly. But now if you take a look, he looks much more like the player that he did last March. And so to me, that's a really good sign. That's essential. If you're drawing a map of how you get to that last playoff spot, and look, Arizona is probably now out of it. They've hit a wall and they've collapsed. So it's five teams for one spot. And that's a heck of a dogfight right there. But if you're going to try to be that team, those three guys, I think, are going to be very important.
And that's what makes these next few games so key, especially heading into the trade deadline. So, of course, we know that the Predators canceled the U2 concert, the early trip to Vegas. What was the response within the locker room? Ryan O'Reilly joins us now. First and foremost, Ryan, appreciate your time and thank you for joining us. It's been fun to watch this team on the road trip. But, of course, we learned that Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette said, hey, we're not going to see you two in the Sphere. What was the reaction and response from the team after that canceled trip?
You know, obviously we're disappointed. I thought it was a good time for the team to kind of come together. But, no, I think it's, you know, we came into the break and didn't perform the way we wanted to. And they wanted to change it, and that's the decision. And it was a good reset for us and to focus. And as you can see, the last two games, I thought we played, you know, very well. You know, obviously, I think, you know, anytime you can do stuff together as a team is good. But, you know, when, you know, things are going well, you don't get rewarded, and that's what happened. And, yeah, you know, we moved on from it. You know, I thought, again, you know, last night was a huge win for us. The guys played great. You know, everyone was involved, and just we got to keep moving on, keep winning these games.
We've kind of seen that from the Predators throughout this season, where maybe you lose a couple and then you win a few and lose a couple and win a few. It's kind of been a bit of a back and forth season, and that's really been kind of the tale of these last 2 weeks. A couple of tough games last week against New Jersey and then Dallas at home, and then two great games at St. Louis and, of course, at Vegas last night. What have you seen has been the difference in some of the peaks and valleys of this team the past couple of weeks?
Well, the biggest thing, I think, when we came out of the break, it was just kind of, you know, obviously it's a tough schedule. I think we were one of the last teams on break, and we just came out, and we were just kind of slow and hesitating. And, you know, the guys, I think, you know, I respect our team in a sense. You know, everyone, I think, is always working hard. And, you know, when we got into trouble, there was just, yeah, that hesitation and not kind of just trusting and going. It was like, we just, no one wanted to make mistakes. And, these last two games, it's the kind of the mentality is, you know, who cares? It's like, let's go, let's trust our game and, you know, just compete and go from there. And you can see, you know, we are much faster. We're back check, you know, we're smothering teams, and even offensively too, you know, we're quick, we're on pucks, and, you know, that little, I think, shift of mindset, and you know, everyone on that same page of just, you know, not trying to hang around and win the game. It's just go try to take it from them. You can see how effective it is. It's something that we, you know, have to be consistent with and bring tomorrow night, because it's going to be another tough challenge for us.
Predators forward Ryan O'Reilly is with us. Ryan, how much do you all as players in the locker room keep the trade deadline in mind?
It is tough because, you know, in our position too, there's, you know, tons of rumors going around. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I was part of it last year too and got shipped out like around this time. And, yeah, it's always on the back of your mind, especially with social media. Everyone kind of has rumors and speculation. It's tough. But, you know, we kind of touched on it when we had a team meeting of just kind of, hey, you know, we all want to be here. We want to win. We want to keep this group together. And let's focus on what we can control. And that's, you know, just showing up and being ready to work and compete for each other.
We'll talk with Nashville Predators, Ryan O'Reilly. Now, Ryan, because we had this discussion after the 9-2 loss, and there are several different avenues you can go down. You can say, hey, listen, let's just flush that tape. Let's not watch it because it's not indicative of who we are as players. Let's flush it. Or we can get in there and we can watch it, and we can watch the hard stuff and make some corrections and kind of move on from there. What approach did Coach Bruno take with you guys in regards to that game?
Well, unfortunately, we did watch it, and it wasn't pretty. I don't think anyone enjoyed that. Yeah, that was one of the worst games, obviously, of the season, and, you know, everything just went wrong. And we looked at it, we saw, you know, all the areas we were terrible in, and yeah, it was needed. You know, we... You know, fortunately, would love to wash it, but no, we looked at it and saw it, and you know, had came out and had a really hard practice, and then moved through it that way. But yeah, I think it was just it was good for us, and you know, that's something that can't happen again.
Now, you come off two back-to-back wins against very good teams, the St. Louis Blues, and obviously last night versus Vegas. How do you approach those two games, essentially after the break, after the loss, and then approach those two games? Because you guys have played lights out. I mean, Lincoln was good in the net last night. Soros was good in the net the game before that. What is said amongst the veteran guys, you included, that has put y'all in a position where y'all have beaten two really good teams?
And I think the thing that we've been stressing, it's just kind of like little details of our game. You know, I think we come to the break and it's like, okay, hey, we want to get in. We've got to win a bunch of games and, we can't give up anything. And it's a little more outcome focused. And I think after that loss in these last two games, it's from I think the veteran guys just, harping on the details. You do the right things. You constantly have the communication of, being responsible for each other, doing the right thing, staying engaged and just the task at hand. And, when we do that, I think that obviously just helps us, play a lot faster, play cleaner. And we're not, trying to make the playoffs in one game. All that matters is just this next game ahead of us. And, we chip away at that.
We're talking to Ryan O'Reilly of the Nashville Predators, coming off a big win last night in Vegas, 5-3. They take on the LA Kings tomorrow night. Ryan, I had a good conversation with Luke Evangelista. He's played really well these last couple of games, and he really commended yourself and the other leaders on the team. He talked about, the guys that got rings, guys who have been through the battles. It's got to feel good to you, because that's one of the things I know was kind of presented to you by Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett when you joined the Predators, is to have a good influence on these young guys. And here you are two-thirds into the season. I could really hear it in Luke's voice how much of an impression guys like you have made. Does that make you feel pretty good?
Oh, absolutely. It's always nice when, young guys like that, they're up-and-coming players and they respect you and they listen to you. And, I think it's something that's tough to do, too. I think, growing up, I know myself in the game, you're young, you kind of, sometimes you think you got to figure it out. But, these young guys, and Luke especially, they're so respectful. You can tell they're learning. They're doing what they can to be better pros and better players. And it's fun to be around. Because they've got great energy and, just really good players too. So it's really fun to be a part of it.
You now join a pretty rare group. You've got a 20 goal season for four different teams. There's only three other guys in the league that can say that, but you've always shown the ability. Even last year, you got dealt at the trade deadline. You jump in to a Toronto team and made a good contribution there, but you've shown the ability to go into a different situation and make your presence felt and acclimate. What do you think has been unique about this team now that you're well into this first year in Nashville?
Obviously a lot of things I've been impressed with and reasons why I signed here. I've been impressed when, we dial into, our skating game and, how hard we can be to play against. And kind of coming to the end of the season, thought we were going to be a little bit, and a little more offensive minded, but you could see though with our structure, when we play fast and have this mindset of playing quick but also returning quick, it's really tough to play against. In some of the best games, even a game like last night, we just frustrated them, and it's so fun to be a part of. And it's tough to do. There's some really good players in this game, but I've been really impressed with our group when we do that the right way. We're right there with these top teams and frustrating them and, making it hard on them. And that, to me, it's impressive and why I think this team can have success. It's, it excites me.
One thing that really jumps out when you guys are on your game, you saw it last night, and I'm just wondering your perspective when you see one of these kind of plays happen. But, like, Jeremy Lauzon just crushed a couple of guys, and he seems to do it every night. Luke Shen's been really getting involved physically here. I feel like you guys are starting to get a reputation of being one of the harder hitting teams that you look at the stat sheet every night. You guys are up there in that category. What kind of impact do you think that has each night when you guys are doing it right?
Oh yeah, that's something not easy to play against. It's great. I think our back end is, our D are so good, and Lauzon and Shenner, they lead the way in that. No one really, I think, wants to go out there and play against those guys. And that, that's, how you win. I think you have to have that edge. And, those guys that we're playing against, they're disappointed to have to go against those guys. And, that's exactly what you want. It's impressive. And, part of the reason, we can, be that mean team and go and frustrate teams is because of that.
One more thing for me. Another guy that we were just talking about as you came on is Cody Glass, and he's had a lot of issues. It had to feel great for him last night to score against his former team. It always does, I'm sure. But the confidence boost that I'm sure that gave him, you've been seeing it. You know, the other areas of his game have gotten stronger and stronger these last few weeks. He's such a critical player. But what are you seeing on him, you know, as a guy who plays the same position as you do, where his game could go and how important that could be?
Yeah, he's been playing outstanding. Yeah, I think I feel like the Stars here just couldn't get a bounce with these injuries. And, you know, it's nice to kind of, it's tough coming back from them. And you can see now he's kind of really, like you said, kind of getting more confident, trusting his game because he's obviously a kid that's such a good kid, but works so hard, but also so smart out there. You see when he reads the play and plays he makes, it's very impressive. And, you know, I think it's only, you know, going to get better from here as he gets more confidence. And that goal last night was just unbelievable. He, you know, picks the puck out of the air and then blasts it home like that. It was amazing. And it's nice to see him start to get rewarded for it because he works so hard and such a good kid and just a really good hockey player.
Ryan O'Reilly, Predators forward, is with us. And Willie mentions Cody Glass. I'll kind of apply the same question to a lot of these young guys, whether it's a Luke Evangelista or a Tommy Novak, Cody Glass, of course, like Willie mentioned. How have you seen their game grow? What have you noticed from some of those young guys since Barry Trotz, you know, brought in along with the rest of this class this past year to bring in serial winners and not just contribute to this team, but also be role models for some of these young guys? What have you seen from them?
Yeah, I think, they've been, you know, outstanding. I think Novi, too, is, you know, really making some unbelievable plays out there and another amazing goal last night, too. It's just seeing him get some confidence with it is awesome. He's such a smart player and just creator, too, the way he holds on to the puck. And, you know, Evangelista, too, you know, last couple games, the goals, huge timely goals, kind of sparks us. It's good to see. And, you know, for me, obviously, you know, veteran guy, it's seeing the stuff away, like the little things that they do that is impressive. You know, the heavy on pucks, the way they're positioning their sticks and little puck battles. You know, it's cool to see that growth, and that's something that's so important for younger players, is kind of seeing those details and doing them. And you can see how, you know, personally when I see it, it's fun to watch, to see these guys taking steps. It's awesome.
Last one from me, Ryan. I asked you about, you know, how much do you keep the trade deadline in mind? How much do you keep the playoffs in mind?
It's not as much as you think. I think, it's always in the back of your mind. Everyone, you know, that's the goal. You get in and then you have a chance and you kind of, you tackle that. But, you know, for us in this playoff hunt right now, it's, you have to stay in the moment. You have to stay in just, you know, the game. This next game is the only thing that matters. And you got to give it your full attention because it's a tough league to win in. And, it's diving into the task at hand, staying engaged in that. And you just keep marching forward. And I think we'll like the result by the time playoff time comes.
Predators forward Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan, really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us. Good luck tomorrow against the Kings and safe travels back to Nashville next week.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. You too. Predators forward Ryan O'Reilly. Really appreciate him for stopping by and sharing some insight kind of inside the locker room, since it's really been a big topic of conversation for us. You canceled the concert. Well, how was that reaction going to be within the locker room? We can only see what's the reaction is on the ice, and the reaction has been pretty darn good on the ice. And the reason why I asked him about the trade deadline, about the playoffs, is I think that it you would probably be accustomed to hear, we're only focused on the next game. But of course they're focused on whatever the ultimate goal is or what the trade deadline is. And we talked about this with UC Saros. Could all the trade talk potentially be getting to his head? Could that be a factor that has contributed to his hot and cold play? And you could also apply that theory to the rest of the team as well.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think he's a guy who actually got traded at the trade deadline last year. And he was traded. He was the captain of the Blues, you know, a Stanley Cup champion, a hero there. I saw the greeting he got at Thanksgiving time when they welcomed him back after all of that. So he's been through a lot. He's seen it all, which is why he's such a great influence on these guys. And hope, you know, here's hoping that some of the stuff and the foundation that he's laid with guys like Evangelista and Glass and Novak, the guys we've been talking about, that the best is yet to come, even this season. Because you know, I think if you're O'Reilly, you've been through it so many times, you probably don't sit there and think about it every day, about the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. He's probably better equipped to handle that than a guy like maybe Alex Carrier or Tommy Novak, who were in the last years of their contract, right? And that's staring them in the face right now. And they're dealing with that. Their agents calling them, their families are calling them, hey, anything new? Anything going on? You know, that kind of thing. So I think you just try to set the example as best you can, try to keep that even keel. There's still so many games left, mm-hmm. right? That March 8th is such a big date in everybody's mind right now, but the reality is there's a lot of games after March 8th too. So if you're in the playoffs on March 8th, that's just phase one, right? You got to be in the playoffs a month after that.
Yeah, we still have, what, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before that date comes up? So I know it seems, you know, close because we talk about it, but it's far enough to where you can truly make a move. From where you're at, meaning the Nashville Predators, what are they, the third spot right now in the wild card, that last wild card race?
Yeah,
tied for it.
The Blues. Yeah. They've played one more game. So, exactly. So they're one slot down the ladder mm-hmm. in that big log jam of teams.
Exactly. But you still got a good ways to go before that trade deadline. You got enough games in there that you can, you know, prove to Barry that, hey, listen, you know, we don't need to, you know, make any drastic moves per se. We're headed in the right direction, and we don't need to sell off assets that could potentially help us not only now, but in the future.
And that is going to be the team's perspective.
Yeah.
But what is our perspective if we were in that position? Because Barry Trotz has a really difficult decision that he's going to have to make. How much of that will be influenced or has been influenced by this road trip so far? We'll get into what Barry Trotz said about that. What we would do right now, if the trade deadline is tomorrow, what we think the best approach would be or should be for the Nashville Predators. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace will catch up with Jonathan Hutton at the bottom of the hour at 11:45. Normally, he chats with us on noon on Wednesdays. He'll be at 11:45 today, so just over 20 minutes. Caroline Willie D. Mays is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Foremost, Ryan, appreciate your time and thank you for joining us. It's been fun to watch this team on the road trip. But, of course, we learned that Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette said, hey, we're not going to see you two in the Sphere. What was the reaction and response from the team after that canceled trip?
you know, obviously we're disappointed. I thought it was a good time for the team to kind of come together. But, no, I think it's, you know, we came into the break and didn't perform the way we wanted to. And they wanted to change it, and that's the decision. And it was a good reset for us and to focus. And as you can see, the last two games, I thought we played, you know, very well. You know, obviously, I think, you know, anytime you can do stuff together as a team is good. But, you know, when, you know, things are going well, you don't get rewarded. And that's what happened. And, yeah, you know, we moved on from it. You know, I thought, again, you know, last night was a huge win for us. You guys played great. You know, everyone was involved. And just we got to keep moving on, keep winning these games.
That was Ryan O'Reilly. Appreciate him for joining us in the last segment. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we're broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. So let's Ryan O'Reilly kind of called it how it was. Look, we came out of the break. We didn't play how we wanted to. We didn't play well enough, and you don't get rewarded for that. And I don't know if it was the canceled trip that was the kick in the butt that they needed. I don't know if it's that this team just happens to play better on the roads or seems to play better on the road. I don't know what it's been over these last couple of games, but something has changed, and they've played really, really well the past two nights, both in St. Louis and in Vegas last night. But how much does that influence Barry Trotz's decision at what to do at the trade deadline? Because he said, look, you decide for me. You know, if we can win two out of every three over this next stretch, then sure, we can look into buying. But you've got to show me. So how much is this road trip going to influence what Barry Trotz's decision is going to be at the deadline? He was on with Jared Stillman yesterday on Stillman and Company and answered that question.
I mean, how much of your deadline decision-making is going to be influenced by the road trip and the results and the standings when you guys come home after the four games that are ahead?
Well, I think, depending on the – I think the results will bear a lot of fruit or decision, I guess, if you will. If we have a great road trip, then, you know, we're trending in the right way, and we will give the players the tools necessary that, you know, hopefully they need to get there. If we don't have the road trip that we need, then, you know, we'll maybe have to go in a different direction. But we still have some games past that road trip, and it might be one of those 11th hour decisions that you have to be made on certain things. So I want to give everybody the runway and the ample time to you know, the first couple games of this homestand. The message seemed to be loud and clear, but since that point, I think we're right back on a little bit on track, if you will, and we'll see what we can do tonight. Tonight will be a big test. Actually, the whole road trip will be a big test for our hockey team.
Well, I mean, they have eight games, roughly, Willie, before the day before the deadline, I believe, which is March 8th. They have a game that night before against Buffalo. But they start off, obviously, after they play the Kings, who's a pretty good team. But this is, let me know what you think about this, Willie. On this next couple of games, these eight games, or at least three of the next four, they got San Jose, Anaheim, and Ottawa. You don't want to say they are winnable games, but those are winnable games that they got to win, Willie. You know, they got to win in that stretch in the next three to four. Now, they started off well with beating Vegas and St. Louis after the Dallas game. What they do Thursday, different story. Hopefully they can, you know, get a win versus a good Kings team. But then after that, you got San Jose, Anaheim, and Ottawa. Those are three games they should win.
Yeah, I agree. It is, if you look at the schedule, there's a little bit more of a stretch of games where you're playing more teams that are out of the playoffs mm-hmm. than in the playoffs. And you hope that you can sustain, you know, some success in there. You may not win every game, but you hope that you have good matchups there and you can take advantage. You know, you've got a back-to-back at the end of this road trip where, for some reason, we go from L.A. up to San Jose and then back to Anaheim. Yeah, I mean, this is how it does. There's always some quirks in the schedule where you're like, why did they do it that way? Why don't we just stay down here and play the Kings and then the Ducks? Does this make any sense? But you're absolutely right. This is a stretch where, you know, if you're playing your best hockey and you put your best out there, you're going to beat some of these teams, and you're going to beat more than you don't. Barry Trotz's answer was interesting. But before we get into what Barry said, because Barry had another great interview with Jared yesterday where there's a lot out there, and I encourage everybody to listen. If you didn't hear it, it's on the podcast. I would encourage you. It's a great way to keep up to date because Barry Trotz is going to tell you what he's thinking. He commended Ryan O'Reilly and that leadership group, of course, Roman Josi, the captain, on down, for how they handled the decision. You could tell when we talked to Ryan just a few minutes ago that he wasn't thrilled, right? Ryan O'Reilly, by the way, is a huge music fan, right? He plays the guitar. The Blues gave him a Pearl Jam guitar as a reward for all of his service to the team. So that just ought to give you an idea of how much he loves music. So I think the veterans, they took it like pros, and Barry Trotz certainly appreciated that. You could tell in his voice that Ryan O'Reilly was like, you know, we could have gotten some good things out of that trip after all, but he gets it, right? So they took it like pros, and they responded accordingly. So what do you do at the trade deadline? I my feeling is, guys, that they're going to be, because there's five teams in the race, you know, every night you look at the scoreboard, they're not all going to start losing and the Predators start winning. So it's very unlikely right. that the Predators are going to be way in or way out. Just kind of like the bubble works in the NCAA tournament. We'll start talking about that here in the next few weeks. Joe Lunardi is going to be everywhere you turn. Anytime you flip on ESPN, he's going to be popping up in the middle of games and everything like that. And it's because there's probably not going to be a lot of separation. So I think that the decisions Barry Trotz has today probably won't be a lot different until March 8th. And he talked about the runway. So I think some of this is going to come right down to the wire. I would imagine that they will probably trade, even if they keep doing well and take advantage of the schedule here. I still think he will deal a player or two that is playing consistently tonight because there's so many guys in the last year of their contracts. And that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, deal one guy and then maybe bring in a veteran or two to replace them and be a better team because of it. Or just open up a spot for a younger player to come in who's playing really well at Milwaukee, and maybe you become a better team that way. So it may not be just a traditional, we're going to sell or we're going to buy. I think that it's more likely to be somewhere in between. There might be a combination of selling and buying.
I'm with you, Willie, that I don't think that Barry Trotz's mind is going to drastically change from now until over the next couple of weeks, the next 2 weeks before the trade deadline. I kind of thought if the Predators lost last night, that kind of really would have been like the feeling of, all right, you know, this is it. You know, it's been fun, but this team's not going to make the playoffs. Because they won, again, my mind is not drastically changed. We are, what, 56 games into the season?
Yeah, so there's still 26 games left.
But I don't think
about
this,
what could happen in 26 games.
Totally. Oh, totally. And we've seen, you know, crazy things happen with this team in the past. Like last year, he sold at the deadline, and then these young guys were electric. Totally. There's a lot of hockey left to be played, but I don't think that this team is drastically going to turn into something that we haven't seen. That this team is drastically going to turn into now a team that can contend for the cup. I think this team, you know, they are what they are. They look great some nights. They don't look good enough some nights. And overall, this roster doesn't look like one that is built to contend under Andrew Burnett's system over the next 3 to 5 years. I think you should look at it and say, what can we get? What kind of assets can we get in return to build a Predators team that is able to contend, that does fit into this long-term vision, that does fit into Andrew Brunette's system a little bit more? And if you go on a run and win, you know, the next 3 or 4 games, then great. That's exciting. But you're still in a very tightly contested playoff race. I still think that you can sell and make the playoffs. I mean, heck, this team almost did that last year. Mm-hmm. So
right.
My mind is not completely changed based off of a win last night and 2 wins on the road trip so far. Of course, crazy things can happen, but my mind hasn't changed, and I don't really think that changing your mind completely from now until March 8th is the wisest decision for this team. Let's keep in mind, the priority is the next 3 to 5 years. The priority is not the next 3 to 5 weeks.
Well, they could make a true
dead on.
Yeah, they can make a true statement, this team, in this next stretch of games that they have away and at home right before the trade deadline, because they only play 2 teams, and I'm counting the LA Kings in there. They're only playing 2 teams that have a chance of making the playoffs, really, within this stretch. Correct me if I'm wrong, Willie. So you got to take advantage of situations like this. You got to take advantage of opportunities like this. And I'm sure that's what Barry is looking at as well. You look at the schedule. You don't want to count your wins and losses, but you look at the schedule and you say, if this team is going to make a push before the deadline, this is an ideal schedule for it. You have 2 teams that, Colorado and the Kings, Colorado's basically in, but the Kings, but everybody else is basically out of it, or they're fighting just like Nashville. And
right,
Northern
or on the
Nashville.
Bubble. Right.
Exactly.
Like, there's a big game with Minnesota next week, for example. And Minnesota's right there with the Predators. They've done a great job to claw back into it. They've been through a lot, but the Wild are right there. So that's a great bubble game, right? Mm-hmm. There's another game, I think, with Seattle down the road. But you're right. This is a great chance for this team to make a statement. So, you know, we just talked to Ryan O'Reilly. That was great perspective. You know, I don't think Ryan O'Reilly wants to have five guys get traded and have him go, well, you know, I came to Nashville and then this, now we're back to square one. Now what are we looking at? Another 3 or 4 years. So let's just take a couple of examples. Let's put Soros aside, right? Because that's the big one. If mm-hmm. if they were to make that trade, that would be a totally different direction that you're heading, because he means so much. And just hearing what Barry Trotz said about him was interesting. I still think there's not a whole lot of phone calls that come in that have an offer that would even get Barry Trotz's attention, right? So that, again, tells you what it's going to take for him to actually make that deal. But let's take Kevin Lankinen, who played last night and played very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could you find a team that is looking for a goalie to trade for Kevin Lankinen and give you some asset that you would like, swap him out for Yaroslav Askarov to give him the experience of playing in the NHL? I think that's possible, right? And if you don't, then you got a really steady goalie in Lankinen who could help you get into that playoff spot. The games that UC Soros doesn't play, and I don't know how many of the 26 there'll be, 6 to 8, something like that. Those are huge points. So you need good efforts by your goalie there. But who gives you a better chance to win, Askarov or Lankinen? Well, I don't know, but because Askarov is doing some pretty amazing things, right? So that's an example of where you could, quote, sell, but your team is maybe arguably just as good or maybe better. Just like with one of the defensemen. They've got a surplus of right-handed defensemen. It's well told. You've got Fabro, a restricted free agent. Carrier, unrestricted. Barry, unrestricted. If one of them is traded and you slide in Spencer Stastny, are you any worse off? Maybe not, right? So that's where you could be on the surface, you're selling, but you've got pretty much the same type of team, and maybe, if in a perfect world, you're a better team.
I do have some thoughts on that I want to get back into, but coming up next, Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow will join us. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025-1063, The Game.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. Hutton O'Clock comes a little bit early this week. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. And joining us now is Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, always appreciate you for stopping by. Let's talk some Titans free agency. I saw yesterday an article on ESPN.com had Hollywood Brown and Chidobe Awuzie, wide receiver and cornerback, respectively, to the Titans in free agency. Those would be two guys you would look into, and is that enough for the Tennessee Titans? What should the Titans' approach in free agency be?
In a word, is that enough? No. No.
It's not even close to enough.
No.
No. Guys, I don't know. I'm seeing a lot about T. Higgins, about a sign and trade with the Cincinnati. You mentioned Hollywood Brown. I like Calvin Ridley personally. Jacksonville's going to owe more on their cap if they keep him, and it locks in. So I think he'll be gone. Personally, I would go through the draft for wide receiver. I would spend money on the offensive line, and that's not sexy when it comes to the NFL draft, or waiting around to see, because we've seen them wait and we thought they're going to do wide receiver last year. They didn't. I would load up on the offensive line, spend the money there. I think that's a better investment. And I think you can hit on wide receiver nowadays personally. I would let those guys, especially with the idea that Hopkins is back with Levis, let him lead that room. And I would center around, knowing that there has been success. If you're going with the trend of the new age NFL, Kansas City just went back-to-back without Tyreek Hill, which is remarkable.
But Kansas City also has something that you do not.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no doubt. No doubt. But I'm also viewing it from, you know, Brock Purdy was also in the Super Bowl because of the wide receivers that they have around him and the help that they have around that quarterback. So I load up in the draft. They don't have a lot of picks. That's the other issue with all of this. So they're going to have to go pick and choose in free agency. They've got money to spend. That's good news. They've got an overhaul. So in a word, no, that's not enough. And you can name a bunch of players that are better than the roster they filled it last year. So sure, bring them on.
I know it's really easy to say, well, you know, just trade back, pick up more picks. You need a trade partner, but let's just live in a fantasy world where there is a trade partner to trade back to 12, 13, 14, pick up an extra pick next year's draft or a second round, another second round pick in this year's draft, and there would still be a player at a position of need, a good player at a position of need at 12, 13, or 14. Would that be something that you would entertain if you ran the Tennessee Titans?
Well, it depends on the offer and where the quarterbacks slot in. The problem is, Caroline, I think the quarterbacks that are going to go top 10 will go ahead of the Titans, personally. There's going to be a huge run on, I think, wide receiver and offensive tackle. I would get the premier offensive tackle if I'm waiting there. Again, I'm assuming that the value is going to be there on the offensive line. This is a great year for offensive line. There's going to be 70 offensive linemen at the NFL Combine next week. 70. That's insane.
What's the average number? Is that like an overwhelmingly more than maybe any other year?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, normally you have 70, have a group of 70 at the skilled positions, right? Mm-hmm. I was talking with Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, and he said that there are probably at least 10 to 15 linemen that are truly top two rounds, top 100 players. So, and they had them at the Senior Bowl. This is a great year to be offensive line needy. And by the way, the league is offensive line needy. There's some bad offensive line play. I think that's part of the reason why the offenses look so bad in total. But I think a lot of teams are going to rush to get those guys. So, I mean, if you're trading back, Caroline, you're trading back because a quarterback fell, or you addressed your offensive tackle needs in free agency, and you're letting someone go up and get a guy that's going to be a potential franchise player. That Titans, personally, go get elite talent and use them in year one. That's my motto for 2024. If you're a rookie on this team, it's time to play and expect that you're going to see some improvement throughout the year instead of this slow play, especially in the first rounders at key positions. I'm not wasting a first round pick on a guy that needs to be slow played by trading back and getting some late first rounder. Go get a guy that you can address. Go get Brock Bowers if you're looking to trade back instead of trading back. Again, get help and get the elite talent that other teams are willing to trade up for. And if you're sold on Will Levis, go get him help immediately.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton discussing the Tennessee Titans and the holes that need to be filled for this team upcoming season.
We don't have enough time, mate.
Yeah, we really don't. But looking at this offseason, the one question I do want to get your answer on is Treylon Burks, because we've looked at just about every position and the coaches that they brought in, and we say, well, Callahan should straighten out, you know, Bill should straighten out the offensive line woes, and the guys that play, you know, Skoronski, he should be better because you're bringing in Bill Callahan. Nicholas Petit should be better. Hopefully he will be better if you're bringing in a Bill Callahan, a guy that is known for really transforming offensive linemen. Why are we saying that for Treylon Burks now being put in an offense that is geared more toward passing? Because my thing last year with Treylon was, with the system was, you didn't make him a priority. And when Vrabel got on the airwaves and said, we don't do that for players, that was a bold-faced lie, because you were doing it for D-Hop, which he deserves. Oh. And you see it across the board with every team. So when you say we don't do it, but then the next following game, you come out and you target him, you know, the first three or four passing possessions, that means you wasn't being truthful. So why aren't we saying that about Treylon Burks and what they could potentially do with Treylon Burks now that he's seems to be more in a pass-happy offense?
So you're bullish on Burks, right?
Yes.
You still think he could be a number one guy?
Because my thing is, I see it.
Mace.
Yeah.
He needs to act like it.
Yeah.
Right?
And you're right. You're right. Absolutely.
So part of this is on Treylon Burks. Mm-hmm. There was a sentiment. And again, we're about to find out what's true and what's not, because the old coaching staff is out.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sentiment that he's not trying very hard to get back to the field whenever he's, you know, got a bum knee or whatever it was that he was dealing with outside of the concussion stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the concussion stuff. I'm not trying to make light of that. But went through the bye week, and there was a, you know, he could come back, and they wasn't back immediately. You thought he'd be back after the London trip, for instance. There was a sentiment that he wasn't necessarily feeling up to par, ready to go. Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, you only hear whispers about that. There wasn't anything like there was just pressing that was calling anyone out, but at the same time, there wasn't anything saying the opposite. We heard a lot about that, by the way. There was a Carthon Vrabel whisper that was going around that they waited until week 18 to address. Point being, first off season is what it, whatever. He came in out of shape. They blamed it on asthma, whatever. He was out of shape. Second off season, big one for him. And we still haven't seen that progression because of whatever reason he's in the training room. Sometimes it's just, that's happens. It's football. No one's healthy 100%. Mace, with this offense, knowing that Will Levis, for instance, has the best setup and the most investment that he could possibly have, given the coaching hire and the change, Burks has got to feel the same way. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Treylon Burks, I'm spending an off season with Will Levis. Aren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm looking at the I want to see that. I mean, again, that's on the player as much as it is the system and the coach. The staff would be dumb not to use Treylon Burks' talent, but the talented player has to be ready to go and has to be invested to be the number one guy. I don't know the behind the scenes aspects of it. I raise my hand and fully admit that. But you're right. He's got number one talent. I need to see that. You see it in him. I don't see it on the field. To the point where, I mean, you're absolutely right. They feed the football to DeAndre. Look at how many targets DeAndre Hopkins had in that New Orleans Saints game, week one, mm-hmm. right? Like that's all they did was throw the football his way with Tannehill. And if Burks were reliable, Tannehill would go to him too. I want to see more of that, and I want to see the climb up the ladder. We saw Chigakonkwo, for instance, who's going to be on this team. They need him. Chigakonkwo, Mace, he went through a lull, but then we saw him get back to producing something towards the end of the year. That needs to happen to carry over for him. Burks didn't show that to me, right? Like that, I've never seen that from him to where I'm like, man, he's got some momentum now and he's starting to click. It's got to happen. And I don't know what he would pull in a trade, but at the same time, I don't know if the Titans can afford to trade the dude. They need to make something of him, and this new staff needs to view him as a piece to the puzzle, not a detriment that and some trade asset for another pick. Because, I mean, they're not going to be able to swap the investment they already have in him, and they've made some bad investments early in these drafts. It's the reason why we see the turnover in the front office.
And if the Titans wanted to trade him, I don't know what you get in return. I don't know what the market looks like for a trade
right.
Burks.
Yeah, but again,
Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break.
I feel like they're better off just trying to invest in him, but he needs to invest in the actual job of not just playing receiver, being that dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at it from Hopkins' view. He's one more year here, right? One more year in Nashville. Burks is supposed to be the number one guy, and Hopkins is supposed to be the two. Mm-hmm. And that is not anywhere close to the case here. But right now, they're going to draft a guy, and Burks is going to be the three. That should piss him off, and I don't want to see him play content. And again, maybe he doesn't. I just don't know, D-Mace. I don't know the mindset of the player, and I want to see the guy that played at Arkansas with KJ Jefferson.
We're going to take a quick break. Jonathan Hunt will stick around with us coming up next. Caroline Billy, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.